And if you've got a Bible, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll get there in a few moments. This is the first week of our series that we're doing throughout the summer of June and July called You Asked For It. Many of you submitted questions that you wanted answers. And so thank you for doing that. That helped us formulate what we believe is a great summer package for us of being able to look at the Word of God together and see what God might have to say to us. I want to be clear, this is like an entirely different kind of series than we were in with Philippians. If you think about Philippians, we were in it really 11 weeks and really kind of a rifle approach, man. We're only in Philippians, kind of just digging deep there. When you think about this series of answering questions, it really is more of a shotgun approach where we're just spreading out and looking across the scriptures at what the Bible says about each one of these things we're dealing with. This is really a theological series when you think about it. And I would say it this way, if you went down to like the Christian bookstore and bought a theology book and you wanted to know about a certain topic, you would flip to that part in the book and you would open it. And most likely it would not just be one passage of scripture, but it would really be a host of scriptures. It would look throughout the Bible, the various passages that speak about that. And that's the way it would be portrayed. And that's the same thing we're going to do here over the summer together. And so we'll launch from 2 Timothy chapter 3 really as a foundation into many other passages today. And so today, if you are here and you're ready to roll, like you're ready to take notes, grab your Bible, grab your bulletin, grab a pen or grab your iPhone or whatever you're taking notes on today, and then just do this, all right? Just pop those knuckles, stretch it out, because it's time to roll, okay? It was a good week of study, so we're going to do this together. Today, the first thing we're going to study together is how does God speak to you and you know it is God? This is kind of in a similar vein of even what we discussed last week about understanding God, of how do I understand God's activity in my life, the circumstances I'm walking through. But this takes it even to another level of how do I know that God is speaking to me and that I realize that it really is Him? There are times in my life, even as a pastor, I wish that God would just write it in the sky what I was supposed to do. You ever been there? Like, I wish it could just be in the clouds, like, Nick, do this. This is what I'm saying clearly. And so often it is hard to discern exactly what God is calling us to do, what He's saying to us. And then when we get a hunch that He has, like, how do we know that it was really God and it wasn't just our own heart and desire speaking to that? And so I think this is a place where all of us are from time to time. And I think it would apply to everybody in the room. Let me give you a big idea as we get started here, as we answer this question, how does God speak to me? And we'll come back to this again and again and again. It all centers around the Word of God. It all centers around the Bible here. It brings us, when we begin this message, to an important discussion about really experience versus Scripture. Many people base their idea of what God is saying based on their experience. And you could say it this way, experience is often related to our feelings. Experience is often related to our feelings. And so it goes like this. Well, this is how I feel, so it must be true. Or if I'm feeling it, then it must be right. And so for many people, experience is the height of truth. And so we think that we are better than we really are. I believe that this kind of mindset carries with it the wrong perspective of self. If we view ourselves and if we view humanity in general as we're really okay and no need of change and no need of redemption, we're never wrong, we're kind of the chief person on the earth, then we really get a faulty understanding of experience really does lead to truth when it really is often the opposite. We have truth and then we experience what that truth looks like. I'd say a second thing. If experience is often related to our feelings, Scripture is always related to truth. We could even say it this way, Scripture is always truth. We believe that the Bible teaches that we're all sinners, we're all flawed, we're all in need of change, we're all in need of a Savior, we're all in need of something different to happen in our lives. And so when we understand that, it helps us realize, you know what, when I feel something, good chances it's not right. Or whenever I think something or I feel like my heart is pulling me in a certain direction, I need to stop and think, okay, is this right and godly or is this just my flesh pushing me in a way that ultimately is not helpful for my life? And so it really comes down to a decision that every person makes in their life of this. Do I want the words of God for my life, the truth of God, or do I want the feelings of myself? And that's a dangerous kind of line to walk if we tend to move more towards experience, more towards our feelings, because that never leads to anywhere good. Let's look at this passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you've been in church at any time in your life, most likely you can recite the verses that we're going to read today. And yet I want us to take a fresh look at them because I think it's a great foundation for understanding how it is that God speaks to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look with me at verse 16. The Bible says this: all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Now, let's just walk through that passage together, okay? First thing you see, those first two words, all scripture, all scripture. This means that it's about to point out that it's all directly from God. That means from Genesis 1:1 at the very beginning, all the way through a few thousand pages, all the way to Revelation chapter 22, not just the parts that make us feel good about ourselves, but even the parts that make us feel bad, that bring conviction, it is all from God, all scripture. He says this, he says, it is God-breathed. Now, this is kind of a weird phrase, right? Like, we don't usually use that kind of phrase where it's God-breathed or breathed out by God. In fact, this is the only time in the Bible, think about this, the only time that these two Greek words are put together and called what we see here, God breathed. It's the Greek word theonoustos, theos being the first word, meaning God. That's why theology is a study of God. Then you have pneuo, which is breath or to breathe. And so you have this God breathed idea that is only used here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you say, well, what in the world is that saying? What is that talking about? It's saying this, that all of the scriptures, the entirety of the Bible, are the very words of God. It is breathed out by God, the breath of God for our lives. And it tells us several things about the Bible. Here's what we learn about the Bible from this passage. Number one, it's profitable for teaching. It's profitable for teaching. If you've ever wondered why we preach this book here at Cross Church, 2 Timothy 3 is a great explanation of why. If you've ever wondered, man, Nick, you know, your messages, oftentimes the points are just the exact phrases of the scripture repeated back to us, and I'd say you're exactly right. You say, well, why do you do that? Here's why we do this. It's because we believe that the power of God is found in the words of God, not in the words of the preacher. Okay, that's a critical thing you've got to understand if this is going to be your church. The power of God is not found in me or in David or in Shane or any of our other pastors here. The power of God is found in the words of God. So what are we? We are Bible preachers. We are Bible singers. We love the word of God here at this church. Think about what this means. When the Bible says that the word of God, the breathed out words of God are profitable for teaching, here's what this means. Anytime this book is opened and spoken to you, here's what you can bank on. God is speaking to you. What an incredible thing, right? Like, this is why we believe the church is so essential to our spiritual growth, is because the church allows opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for you to be under the word of God, for your kids to be under the word of God. And so if you think about your children, your teenagers right now, and you think about just the contrast of how much do I have them under the teaching of God's word compared to all the other teachings that they're under. So how much are they under a student leader or a children's leader or a preacher or us doing family devotions versus how much time are they watching TV and getting all those influences or school and all those influences? That's a pretty convicting question for us to ask ourselves. But when you stand here, when you sit here on a Sunday morning and the preacher stands up and opens the Word of God, and you wonder, how is God speaking to me? God is speaking to you on Sunday mornings. It's a great thing. When I go and Meredith and I go to our small group and I sit down and my small group leader opens the Word of God and begins to speak to us, here's the confidence I can have. God is speaking to me tonight at my small group. Or when you open up the Word of God tomorrow, just you and God alone, like nobody's there, and you open the Word of God and you begin to read it, here's the confidence you can have. God is speaking to you. Like, that's an unbelievable thing that we learn about the Bible, that it is profitable for teaching us in our lives. Look at a second thing here. It says it's also profitable for reproof. Now, if you can say reproof five times fast, I'll take you to lunch, and it sounds good, okay? Reproof, 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 it doesn't work, okay? Here's what I would tell you. Reproof speaks to the idea of a rebuke. And if you never sense if you never feel a sense of rebuke or reproof when you're reading the Bible, probably one of two things is going on. Either you're only reading certain sections of the Bible, or number two, you read it so early that the coffee hasn't kicked in yet and you're still trying to wake up, all right? Because here's the thing about the Word of God. When it comes into direct contact with our hearts, here's what you can understand. Hearing a perfect word from a perfect God should continually remind us that we are not perfect. Now, don't miss that. Let me say it again. When you come before the Lord in a church setting or in a personal setting where you're reading the Word of God, here's the thing that you should take away. You should take away a sense of reproof, that hearing a perfect word, the Word of God, from a perfect God should remind me, should remind Nick Floyd, listen, you're not that good. You're not perfect. You need Jesus every day in every part of your life. The Bible goes to the next thing. It says it's profitable for correction. When you read the Bible, when you hear a sermon, a great thing to ask yourself after reading the passage is to say this. Okay, so what needs to change now? Like, what do I need to fix in my life? What needs to change based on the passage that I just read or that I just heard? You think about these three things. You could take them, and we'll use, like, child rearing as an example, okay? So for those of you who have kids, I feel like I got to sneeze. You know, there's no classy way to sneeze or to sneeze or to sniff when you have a microphone on. I think I made it through. Okay, so you think about this as related to raising children. Well, you would say it like this. This is a great way to think about the Word of God. Well, you would sit them down and teach them. All right, kids, now you do not hit another individual. Okay, look, that's the teaching. Then you come to the reproof. If your son is anything like my son, he needs reproof and rebuke and much more, okay? Why? And so I would sit him down and say, listen, remember, I told you the teaching was do not hit your sisters, you hit your sisters. And so you're getting reproof, you're getting rebuked, and you're going to get disciplined because of that. Now let's go to the correction. Let's recap. Remember, this was what you were supposed to do. This is what you did. Now let's correct this for next time. When she makes you mad, you don't hit her. You come and tell mom and dad, or you do this. That's a great way to view the Word of God about any element of your life. Okay, what does the Bible teach? How am I rebuked by this? What do I need to correct by this? And then you could go to the next thing. The Bible is also profitable for training in righteousness. For training in righteousness. Let me remind you of the purpose that God saved you. The purpose of your Christian life is for you to become more and more like Jesus Christ. It's what the Bible calls sanctification. And so I just want to ask yourself a question, just you and the Lord personally right now, in your own heart, of do I have a desire for holiness? Do I have a desire to be like Jesus? And if so, here's what I would tell you. You will never achieve it. You will never be like Jesus apart from the book. And so you say, well, Nick, I want to be a godly person. I want to look more like Christ. I want to be more holy. How do I do that? Man, you pour your life into this book. Like, make this a priority in your life, and you'll be shocked at what God will do. Look back at verse 17. It says this, that the man of God or the woman of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Everything you have ever needed to know about the Christian life, everything you've ever needed to know about Christ-likeness, everything you've ever needed to know about how to live a productive life for the kingdom is found in the book. It leads you to a competent life, fully equipped for every good work that God is going to call you to do. You look at this entirety of this passage, and I heard someone say it like this, one time. Once again, I can't remember who said it, so once again, I'll take credit for it. I said this, all right? The scriptures teach us what is right, how to get right, and how to stay right. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3. What is right, how to get right, how to stay right. It's a great way to look at this passage. Now, as we try to discern how God speaks to us, let's launch from 2 Timothy chapter 3 into a lot of different passages. And so just write down quickly, let's talk about the past and the present. And when we say past and present, here's what we're talking about. How did God speak to people in the scriptures in Bible times? And then how does God speak to us directly now as New Testament followers of Jesus? How do we know when God is speaking to us? So let's start with biblical times, okay? How did God speak to us? How did God speak in scripture? How did he speak to us in Bible times? Several things, all right? Number one, sometimes he spoke directly to people. You see several examples of this. This won't be an exhaustive list, just some of them. You have God speaking directly to Adam and Eve, to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, to Samuel. In fact, you think back to Moses, Exodus 33:11 said this about the life of Moses. How cool is this? It said, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." How about that, right? That'd be pretty cool to have that kind of relationship with God, speaking face to face like a friend. You know what heaven's going to be like? Exodus 33:11. God speaks directly to people in the scriptures. He also spoke through angels. Sometimes it was God directly to the person. Other times God would speak through an angel. God spoke, if you remember the story about Lot, when God is about to destroy Sodom because of their sin, and he sends angels to Lot and to his family. Genesis 19:15, write that down. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." You see it also in the book of Genesis, Genesis 22:11. God spoke to Abraham through an angel, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." One of the more familiar ones was an angel speaking to Mary. She got like the top angel. Gabriel arrives on the scene. He said this, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." You talk about an angelic message that changed everything. Like, history hinged on a message from an angel. Like, that's a pretty awesome picture there about how God spoke through an angel. You see also that God spoke through visions or dreams. In fact, the most familiar this one is probably about Joseph, the other half of that couple there, where actually an angel spoke to him in a dream. Matthew 1:20, "But as he considered these things," remember, she had just told him, "Hey, I'm pregnant. This is from God." And he's like, "You crazy." "No, it's not." "And so as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" At times, God spoke through a vision or a dream in the Bible. You think about a final thing here, and once again, we could talk through several others, but God spoke through prophets or other spiritual leaders. You think about the Old Testament prophets, okay? And if you were just to read the prophetic books in the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible, here's what you would see over and over again. There was one resounding message that the Old Testament prophets had to the people of God. You know what it was? It was one word: repent. Like, over and over and over. Wouldn't you have liked to have been an Old Testament prophet? Like, who's friends with an Old Testament prophet? Who the continual message is, listen, people of God, you're wrong, you're in sin, repent. You think about like the conversation these guys must have had with God of, "Hey, God, I was thinking about maybe a different message today," you know? Like Psalm 23, maybe. You know, you talk about being a shepherd and there's green pastures and still waters. I think that'd be an encouraging word for the people. And God's like, "No. Tell them to repent again." Okay. Just one resounding message, right? God would speak through the prophet to the people. God spoke in the New Testament through the apostles. It was a similar message. And yet this time it was repent and believe in Jesus Christ. God spoke through people. Probably the thing that most of us are interested in, though, is we can look at how God spoke in the Bible, but really when it boils down to it, how does God speak to me now? Like, I'm desperate to hear from God on this situation in my marriage or with a child or at the office or whatever it may be in your life, and you're like, "Man, I need God to speak to me." And so let's talk about that. I want to encourage you, you can write down the name of this book. I encourage you to buy this book by Dr. Charles Stanley, who you may have heard on the television before. It's called How to Listen to God. Really a book about what we're talking about today. Several of the things I'll talk about here are from that book about the way that he says, hey, God speaks to us now through these things. First of all, he speaks to us, as you can imagine, we would say first, through Scripture. Through Scripture. We've already said that is the central way that God speaks to us. And I would tell you this just personally, some of the greatest and biggest decisions of my life have come when God spoke to me directly in the Scriptures. Psalm 119:105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Think about this. Let's leave this up here for a second. Look at the imagery here. When I cannot see what's next, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When I don't know what to do next, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you ever walked out in your yard on one of those like pitch dark nights and you can't see and you're worried you're going to trip over one of the kids' toys or hit a rock with your toe, what do you need? You need a flashlight. You need a light to light your way. That's what the Bible is saying here about the word of God. When you're sitting in utter darkness, unsure of which way to go, the word of God is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. You may be hearing me talk about Scripture and how God speaks to us through the Scriptures, and you may be wondering, okay, Nick, you're a pastor. I don't know what in the world you're talking about. How does God speak to me in the Scriptures? Like when you read the word of God in the morning, does a massive voice from heaven, you like just shout at you, pay extra attention to verse 22 today, Nick. It's about your life and your situation. Like, is that how it happens? And I got to be honest, I wish it happened that way. How about you? Like, that'd be a little bit easier to understand and discern what God is saying at times. But here's what I've learned. When I have a predetermined plan to read through the word of God, it's amazing how God meets that word with the circumstances going on in my life. For instance, there's times where I've done like the read through the Bible in a year where it's determined, like you just get the plan, and it's amazing how in the power of God, he meets you on the specific day you needed to hear it, and it was already in the plan. This year, I'm just reading book of the Bible by book of the Bible, and so I'm in Job right now, and so tomorrow I'll open up and I'll start reading in Job 28, and it's amazing how even over the past few weeks, God has met me in the book of Job and spoke to me in the book of Job right where I needed him to speak. And so whether you've been a believer for 6 months and you're figuring out this whole thing about what it means to look like, to follow Jesus, or whether you've been a believer for 40 plus years, I want to encourage everybody in the room to do two things, okay? And this is a great reminder to each one of us. Number one is this, determine a plan to read the word of God every day. Like determine a plan to read the word of God every day. You may have started out in January like, man, this is the year. Like, I'm going to read the word of God. It's going to be a great commitment in my life. And by March, like life happened. And you're like, bro, I just got off track. Okay, suck it up, move on. Okay, just truck on. And you start again afresh tomorrow. Say, all right, Lord, here we go. So determine a plan to read the word of God. You can Google Bible reading and plans. And a lot will pop up, okay? I would say this, if you're a new believer and you're trying to figure out and learn more about the Bible, you may feel like, I'm so behind, I need to read 10 chapters of the Bible. You can do that. You probably will not retain what you need to retain. Start with 10 verses and really meditate and think and pray about those 10 verses. Like think more quality than quantity, and then as you improve on your quality, you can move towards quantity. So determine a plan to read the word of God every day. Secondly, simply pray for God to speak to you about your life. Pray to God that he would speak to your life. So tomorrow, for instance, open up the word of God. If you say, okay, Nick, I'm starting fresh. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 1. Just start to read the New Testament. Open up there and just pray something like this. Lord, I just pray you'd meet me in this Bible time that I'm giving to you. I just want you to speak to me clearly. You know, I'm human. I get fuzzy sometimes. Would you just speak clearly to me today? Just simple prayer like that. I promise you, you'll be amazed at what God will do. predetermined plan to read the Word of God, and just a simple prayer of just opening yourself up before the Lord, you'll be amazed at what God will do. Let me reiterate this again. The Word of God is the primary and central way that God will speak to you. Word of God is the primary and central way that God will speak to you in your life. Secondly, let's talk about another way that God speaks to us. He speaks, second of all, through the Holy Spirit. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible gives this picture that the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, came to indwell you. And so what is that? That is God living in us. Like, that's a pretty crazy thought to think about, right? God living inside of me. And so here's the thing I would tell you. You can bank on the direction that God inside of you is pointing you towards. Now, the hardest thing to determine and discern is this the Holy Spirit like speaking towards this in my life? Or is this just my own heart and desires? And that gets fuzzy sometimes. It sure does in my life, and it probably does in yours as well. So once again, Word of God is primary. Then secondly is the Holy Spirit. You can think about a third thing. God also speaks to us through others, through other people in our lives. Again, there's no foolproof method here, especially if you got fools for friends. Catch that? Like, if you got bad friends and you're seeking advice, they're not going to lead you to anything godly, okay? So you got to have the right friends in order to get the right godly counsel here. But nonetheless, God speaks to us in his word about the benefit and the blessing of wise counsel in our lives. Proverbs 11:14 says this, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. An abundance of advice, of wise, godly advice, their safety. Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Now, I teach my my children not to say stupid. It's kind of like a cuss word in our house right now because they're all young. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says something is stupid, so I think we can say it in church today, all right? The Bible says this, if you are unable to receive reproof and rebuke in your life, the Bible says that's stupid. How many of us are living in stupidity? That really we're living there because of pride and we don't want anybody else telling me how to live my life. And that's a slippery slope to a place that you do not want to go. Proverbs 12:15 says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. If we could sum up these three verses together, I think we could say it very simply like this. Isolation will kill you. God never intended you for you to live this life alone. And if you live a life that is just centrally all about you and you're never open to anybody else's counsel, you don't ever seek anybody else's counsel, you're going to live a life that will quickly spiral down because God speaks to us about the benefit of wise, godly counsel in your life. And once again, I think this reiterates the importance of the church in your life, that you'd be around other people who are going in the same direction as you, being in a smaller group of people who are going the same direction as you, to where you're just living a normal life and you're talking with your small group, you're talking with your pastors, and you say, hey, you got any advice for me here? And you have godly counsel pouring into your life. You have a final thing, and the final way that God speaks to us is through circumstances. Through circumstances. Here's when I believe that God often speaks through circumstances. When we don't listen to what God is saying to us in the Bible, or maybe when we do not heed the warnings of the Holy Spirit inside of us, pointing us in maybe the opposite direction that we're going, or when I do not take the advice of godly friendships around me, then sometimes the only thing left, like the only play God has left is what? Is to drastically affect your circumstances. And if you've ever been in like one of those God headlocks, no bueno, okay? Like it's no fun. And yet I think sometimes we get there because we have neglected the top three things and the ways that God has already tried to speak to us. And when we don't, it's like he says, okay, is this the way we're going to play? Like this pains me to do it, but let's do this. So if you sum this up and you kind of take all four of these together, here's the pathway, okay? If you say, Nick, I'm on a major fork in the road. I need God to speak to me clearly. I've got a major decision. I've got this major thing going on in my life and the relationship and blah, blah, blah. Here's what I would tell you to do. You seek the Lord more than you've ever sought him before in this book. Like, you let it be the focus of your life. And then once you feel like you've been spoken to, I think you do this. All right, God, I know that I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And I feel like you just told me this. Will you reaffirm that in my heart? Or will you just totally point me in the opposite direction of, man, I was just off? And then I think you go to God the counselor. You say, listen, I've been seeking the Lord in his word. I think that God's spoken to me clearly here. And I feel like he's reaffirmed that through the Holy Spirit inside of me. And I just wanted to lay this out before you. What do you think, godly counsel? What do you think, wise, godly friends? And if they affirm that, or if they maybe don't affirm that, then you move on to the next thing. Okay, so what are my circumstances telling me right now? Like, my circumstances are a wreck over here or over there. Is that because God's trying to say something to me? That's an easy way to look through and try to discern what God is saying to you. Well, let's close with one final question, okay? And this is sometimes the hardest. Of how do we know it is God speaking to us? If your heart's like my heart, which the Bible says about all of our hearts, it's deceitfully wicked. You're welcome for coming to church. But if your heart's like my heart, man, sometimes I can totally find a verse to go with what I want to happen. I can totally find a verse that fits with my desire. And I can totally twist it and say, all right, I got this. But how do we know that it is God speaking to us? Let me give you kind of a three-pronged filter here. Number one, it will not contradict the word of God. It will not contradict the word of God. Raise your hand if you've ever had somebody tell you, God told me. Anybody ever had anybody tell you that? Well, God told me this. God told me that. And here's what you got to understand. God is not filled with multiple personalities where he says yes here, no here, and all those kind of things. Some of you know this phrase. Some of you have never heard it, and you need to know it for the rest of your life. The Spirit of God will not contradict the word of God. Spirit of God will not contradict the word of God. Let me do a case in point, okay? If you're here, let's say you're here and you're like in a tough, tough marriage right now. Like brutal marriage, okay? And maybe you're here together. Maybe you're just here and your spouse is not here. But, you know, we all have fights in marriage, right? Sometimes those are very shallow that when there's not forgiveness, it just kind of boils and boils and boils and blossoms and blossoms and blossoms and it gets really big and then there's a real, real issue. I would say this, if you're here today and you're in one of those kind of marriages and you would look at your spouse and say, well, she is the issue or he is the issue. He plays so much golf, we're not a priority to him, or she does this with her girlfriends, drives me nuts, we're just not compatible, we don't love each other anymore, we've fallen out of love, I think we just need to divorce. I think God told me that I could divorce my spouse to find someone more compatible for me. That is not the Lord, okay? And that's just one example of marriage. We could go through a thousand other examples of how we feel maybe our heart pushes us towards God told me, but it contradicts the book. That's when you know something is wrong. And guess what? The Bible is never wrong. We are the ones that are wrong. And so it will not contradict the word of God. Think about it a second way, okay? How do we know it is God speaking to us? At times, it will be accompanied by a strange peace. Key words there are at times. I think sometimes, just like we make experience the top thing on the mountain of truth in our minds, I think sometimes we place peace there. And because we don't want to step out and do what God is calling us to do, because it feels much more comfortable over here, we disguise that as peace. Well, God's given me a peace about it, and so I just know that it's right. I think sometimes that's completely false, and we do not need to have a peace about what we have a peace about. On the flip side of that, I think sometimes what God calls us to are the most terrifying things in our lives. How about that peace, right? Like God's calling me to leave everything and to do this. God's calling me to step out in faith and do this. And some of you are at that point today and you are scared to death. And you're wondering, okay, am I supposed to have peace here? Like sometimes God calls us to do things and we don't have peace. Here's the cool thing though. I think in the midst of that, you can have such a firm, fixed determination. This is what God has called me to do. That ultimately will lead to peace. But don't let peace trick you here, okay? Let me give you a third and final thing, this part of this filter. It will sometimes be affirmed by godly friends. Key word again, sometimes. You ever had any godly people tell you crazy things? I have. I have one of the most godly people who I've ever known in my life, who one time told me something absolutely crazy and ridiculous that was wrong. So it's always not about what people think. What it's about? The Word of God, right? But here's the cool thing, okay? And this man is like, it's like water to a thirsty soul. Or sometimes when you know through the Word of God, God, this is what you've called me to do. Like I know it, and you get the sense that the Holy Spirit has totally affirmed that in your life. Like, man, I really sense that this is what God is calling me and telling me to do from the Word and from the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And then you turn to that godly friend and you say, what do you think? Sometimes the greatest encouragement to a soul that needs just a little bit of encouragement to step out in faith is just the arm of a brother or a sister in Christ who says, you know what? I think you're making the right decision also. Go for it. Sometimes that's all it takes for us to say, okay, I'm not crazy. And you take that step. May we all seek to be that kind of friend to a brother or sister in Christ. Sometimes exactly what God has called you to do will be affirmed by godly friends in your life. Other times, I think godly friends will halt what you think God has told you, and he works through that. You look at all this, and you may say, okay, so what exactly am I supposed to take away from this today? I would encourage every follower of Christ, like if you got your Bible, I just want you to grab it, okay? Or if you read it on your phone, just grab your phone. I just want you to hold it in your hand today. If there's one thing that a message about how to listen to God should challenge and encourage your heart today, I think it would be all around this thing. That, man, after a passage like we've read today and multiple passages like we've read today, our number one response to the Word of God today should be just be as followers of Christ to say, you know what? I'm having a renewed and refreshed commitment to the Word of God in my life. Whether I've been a believer for a short time or a very long time, I'm headed to a deeper walk with Jesus through the Word of God. You know, the greatest thing about this is you may feel like you're spiritually mature and you're a deep person spiritually, but this just tells you the riches of the Word of God. You will never get to the bottom. You'll never outgrow the Word of God. And so with this just in our hands, I just want us to bow together before the Lord.